All right, Judges chapter 9. This chapter covers the slaying, or how it is that Israel did not show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal. And it came by the hand of Jerubbaal's illegitimate son Abimelech, who was the son of a concubine of Gideon, and in the city of Shechem. And after Abimelech slays his brethren, the youngest son of Gideon, who's Jotham, he stands up on a mount, and he's moved by the Lord, and he speaks a word of prophecy, a word that the Lord blesses and brings to pass just like he said it. And we see the fulfillment of the Lord to do what is just and right. And there's a lot of important lessons that we can learn from this chapter, but I'm just going to focus on three with you today. First is, just as we sung that hymn, trust your Lord. Even in the midst of evil and darkness, you trust the Lord your God. You walk in the Spirit, looking to walk in the Spirit and trust Him. The second is, even in the midst of darkness, your God sends His word. He declares His faithful word. And though it wasn't a lot, the Lord brought it to pass. He brought forth His word of promise and judged those who did wickedly. And then third, the Lord, we see at the end of the chapter, how that the Lord saves His people. And our strong tower, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a picture of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, trust in your Lord. The first thing that you will notice when we read this chapter, and as we're going through it, you're seeing the depravity of man. You're seeing the wickedness that is in man's hearts, his folly, his dark deeds, his faulty logic, and just the things that he does is just very telling of the wicked heart that is in all of us. All of us, according to the scriptures. You may not think, I wouldn't do that. Well, yes, you would. And yes, I would if the Lord permitted it. We are capable of doing these very things or things just as evil and darkness. And so our Lord tells us that out of the heart of men proceed all manner of evil. Right? And he mentions thoughts, murders, foolishness, and adultery, and all kinds of things in between. It comes from our heart. It comes from our heart. We're the cause. Sin came into the world through Adam. And we're born of Adam. And so sin just flows right on through us. We drink it like water. Now, Abimelech, this illegitimate son, goes to his mother's family. He goes to his dad, her dad. And we pick up in verse 2, which says, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, what's better for you? Either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, that they reign over you, or that one reign over you. And remember that I am your bone and your flesh. Now, you're familiar with what we read in chapter 8. So we know this argument here is a complete lie. It's a fabrication. It's not true at all, because back in verse 23, Gideon said that when they asked, when the men of Israel asked Gideon to rule over them, he said in verse 23, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And his sons were respecting what their dad said. They were honorable men, and they weren't trying to rule over anybody in Israel. But as soon as Gideon died, the heart of the people turned away from their judge, the Savior, the Savior that God had raised up for them. And we were told that they went immediately to an idol god, Baal-berith, the Lord of the Covenant. Right? He was He was patterned after the true and living God, but it was lies. It was all lies. And so their hearts had already left the Lord, and they turned as soon as they could away from the Lord. And so they listened to Abimelech, and to help Abimelech with this venture that he's going on and fabricating, they go to the house of their false god, get 70 pieces of silver, and give it to him. And we're told that he hired vain and light persons, which means these were worthless men, these were reckless men, they just jumped into it and were happy to cause mischief and sin. And together, they all slew the 70 sons of Gideon on one stone. And we're told in verse 6 that after this, all the men of Shechem gathered together and all the house of Milo and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. But these good times, so they thought, they didn't last long. And it wasn't long before they turned against one another and they began to bite and devour one another. And that's because the whole foundation was of the flesh. It was all of the flesh. And so it came to nothing. And Abimelech and the men of Shechem, they were of the same family, of the bone and flesh. They were one, but they turned against one another. And so the Lord destroyed them for their wicked deeds. He brought justice upon their heads. Now, when I read this chapter, it made me think of the times in which we live and times in which man has always lived, really. These cycles and these things come up readily. And I thought of the red horse in Revelation 6, verse 4, which says, "There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." And so we see these men with this very truth, where peace was taken from them. The Lord sent an evil spirit that made them bitter toward one another, and they destroyed one another. And it strikes me that Abimelech and Shechem, they're of one family, and they knew, this family knew, were the works of the flesh. They only knew the works of the flesh because they have not the Spirit of God. They don't have the Spirit of the Lord. In Christ, we are one family. The Lord has made us one family, and he's given us his Spirit. And instructs us, don't look to the flesh. Don't lean on the flesh. Don't deal with your brethren in the flesh, because the flesh bites and devours and destroys and just wrecks things and hurts people, and it harms your brethren. Paul had said in Galatians 5, 15, and 16 that if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's impossible. It's impossible. I mean, this flesh is this flesh, but when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're looking to Christ and loving him and loving one another and don't want to do those things that are so easy to the flesh, you'll do those things that are kind and gracious and generous and forgiving and hoping all things, believing all things for your brethren. Instead, the Lord teaches us that inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Whatever you do to a brother, you've done it to Christ, whether for good or for bad. You've done it to Christ. And a lot of times we'll try to justify it and say, well, they're not brethren, and therefore it's okay. Well, no, it isn't, and we don't have that liberty to judge whether someone is or isn't. All we know is what they've confessed, and we should love them and be kind and generous to them, regardless of what we think, because the Lord is kind and generous and gracious and forgiving to me and to you, to us. He's very merciful and patient. So remember that with one another. He says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so when difficulties arise in this world, remember, you have your brethren. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we know that. The Lord warns us of that. And we know when cold winds blow in and things get hard and difficult and contrary, we go into self-preservation mode. Well, go into the mode of remembering your brethren and think of the things that they need, lest we become hard and cracked and cold and indifferent as well. Let us, therefore, not be weary in well-doing. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, to bear such fruit of the Spirit, we don't have that ability in this flesh. It's not a fleshly thing. Sure, we can be disciplined and we can do better in the flesh, as we tell ourselves, but the true fruit of the Spirit is born in us. That fruit is set and brought forth by the Spirit of God. Look to Christ. Look to your Savior. Seek Him continually. Pray without ceasing, the Word says. Meaning as you're rising up in the morning from your bed, as you're getting ready and brushing your teeth, as you're eating your breakfast, think on your brethren. Thank the Lord. Give Him thanks always and pray to Him. He hears your prayers. Don't be content with the lust of the flesh, right? When you see wickedness about you, when everyone else is doing it, don't you be content. You trust the Lord. That's what He's saying to you. You trust Him and you walk in the light which He has given you, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we see how the Lord takes care of you. He sends you His word. So in this dark time that's recorded for us here in Israel's history, which follows the slaying of Gideon's 70 sons, this unkindness that they showed to his house, the Lord sends His word. And that word is declared. It's preached faithfully by this young man named Jotham. And the name Jotham means the Lord is perfect. And the sense is, He's righteous. He is upright. What the Lord does is just and perfect. He's faithful to deliver His people from the rule of wicked persons. We see that here. Some time went on, a good 3 years went on, but the Lord faithfully delivered His people out from under the rule of these wicked persons. Now, this is a parable. This is a parable. And when you read this parable, you'll notice that what's highlighted to us is that the noblest of the trees, the profitable trees, the productive trees, those who were good trees, they all turned down ruling over the other trees. But as soon as those trees turned to a worthless thing, the bramble, the thistle, whatever it is, a bush or a tree, it isn't much. As soon as they turned to that, that wicked one said, "I'll do it. No problem. I am happy to do it." And it shows the depravity of our heart. It also shows that this was an underlying theme. This didn't necessarily just pop up in Abimelech's mind, but the people in Israel wanted a king just like all the other nations around them. It doesn't say it here, but we know it's an underlying current. They're looking and observing these other kings. They want somebody that's ready to go at a moment's notice rather than waiting on the Lord to provide and to deliver them. And so in verse 7, we see this depravity here declared. Verse 7, "And when they told it to Jotham that Abimelech had been made a king, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them." So this was going on. This was in the hearts of the people to make themselves a king. And they first go to the olive tree, and the olive tree says, "I'm making good fat things, good oils for the people." And then they turn to the fig tree, and the fig tree says, "Well, I'm making good sweet things for the people. I'm not going to stop doing that." And then they turn to the vine. And the vine, which is the grape, says, hey, I'm making alcohol here. I'm making things that make the heart merry and cheer the faint. And so I'm not going to go do that. And so because they found no satisfaction in those honorable things, they turned to the worst sort of character possible. And they just did this because they wanted to be rid of the Lord reigning them and depending on the Lord to reign up a judge and waiting on the Lord. They wanted to be like everyone else in the world. And it really betrays the thoughts of this natural heart, doesn't it? It just betrays when we think, this is what I would do if I had this extra time or this extra money instead of giving and being part of the church. This is what I would do. And it just shows the wickedness in our hearts, what we are by nature. It's the old man of flesh. It's how he thinks and what he would do. And so all the trees said unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. What kind of shadow would this bramble tree have? What kind of little rinky-dink shadow would this bramble tree have? You'd have to put your face in the dust to get in the shadow of that thing, which is turning to the flesh. You know, when the girls were younger, Michelle and I took the girls to Virginia, where is Colonial Williamsburg. It was one of the early colonies. It's a cool little place, and they do a living history. I think it's the largest living history museum, they call it, although it's streets and all the original buildings or remakes of them or whatever. And there, and I think it's called the marketplace near the courthouse, there is this oak tree there. The kind of oak tree is a Compton oak tree, and it's massive, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's the thing I remember the most about Colonial Williamsburg, actually. That's why I remember it, because there's this beautiful tree, and I'm looking at it. I've just come out of the courthouse, and I'm thinking, I want to go there, and you're just drawn to this beautiful tree. And I read it's 70 feet high. It is 14 feet around the circumference of the trunk, which means it would be three of me reaching around about to touch hands going around that tree. And you know how wide the canopy is? 97 feet. It's wider than it is tall. A lot of people could fit comfortably under the shadow of that beautiful Compton oak tree. And they have, like, I think six benches and some tying posts for horses. It's massive. It's massive. That's shade. That's shade. And this bramble bush says, come and put yourself, hide yourself, put your trust in my shade. You come and hide yourself to me. Otherwise, let fire come out and I'll destroy you. All right? And so you see the pride and the arrogance of man. That's his arrogance. And so then this prophetic word of the Lord is brought forth here. Drop down to verse 19. If ye have dealt, verse 19, if ye have dealt truly and sincerely with Gideon, Jerubbaal, and with his house this day, then great, rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in ye. But if not, if this is deceitful, and this is wickedness that you're doing here, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And then Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. Now, what strikes me here, what's so incredible, is that in this time of wickedness, the Lord sends forth his word. And it's one word, one word of prophecy. That's all the Lord used. And that word went out, and he did exactly what this word of this prophetic word said. They destroyed one another because it was all built on the sin and the flesh and the wickedness of man. And so remember that. Remember the grace of your God who gives you his word with power and glory to the praise and honor of his name, declaring to you his promises, reminding you of his blessings and how he cares for you. And what a blessing, what a comfort that is to have his word. He gives you his word to take your heart from fearing and worrying about all the things going on in the world. And there is some crazy going on in the world right now. And it's scary, for the whole world's going nuts and doesn't know which way to go. And sometimes it grips me and grips my attention and my imagination and my thoughts more so than it ought to. But I'm so thankful for the Lord, and I'm so thankful for His Word, because when I look into His Word, I see He is sovereign and has everything in absolute control, and He's doing exactly as He purposes to do, and at any moment, He can just destroy, crush the heads of these wicked people that are just doing wicked, awful, evil things. All right, it feels like the end of the world, but the Lord, like that, can just destroy their head and just restore peace and a time for His people. And even if He doesn't, He promises to provide for you, to care for you, to give you a heart that is resting upon your rock, the rock of your salvation, resting in His shadow and being provided for Him. Pray to Him. Cry out to Him about the things, and He'll show you. All right? What was it, Elijah that prayed for a servant? Lord, let him see what you see. Let him see what the truth is. And then he saw the 185,000 hosts of the Lord on the mountain. On the mountain. Even though there was a little army of enemy right there, but he saw that the Lord had everything in control. And so the Lord does that. He does it for His people. And this was spoken in the top of Mount Gerizim, which is where the Lord promised to bless His people. And He's declaring a blessing for the people. I'll read Deuteronomy 11:29, that says that it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that's where they are now, in the land, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. And so these words here by Jotham, they were a curse to Shechem and a curse to Abimelech. But to the Lord's people, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And so this gospel word, which curses the others who won't hear it and get nothing from it, yet it blesses you. Praise God that He blesses your heart and comforts you. Now in verse 22 through 24, we're told that Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. And then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem so that they dealt treacherously with Abimelech. And that cruelty of the 70 persons of sons of Jerubbaal, that it would come upon their own heads, that God would justly repay them for their wickedness and the evil that they had done. It was 3 years, but the Lord did it. The Lord dealt with it. And so then it comes to pass that there's warring and fighting going on between some other fellow named Gaal that was very proud and arrogant. And then he got his opportunity and he also got wiped out. And we read here that Abimelech conquered Shechem and he destroyed that city, but there's a few left. So look down to verse 46. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that the city of Shechem was destroyed and salted over, they entered into an hold of the house of the god of Beerith. Right? They went to their god, their idol god, their false god, the god that cannot save them, a god who is nothing, who is no god at all. They turned to that false god Beerith for refuge. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And so Abimelech goes there. And he cuts down the bough of a tree. And he tells everyone else, you do the same thing. And they laid that up against that tower. And that tower of Beerith, what do you think happened? It was destroyed. Because their god is no god at all. He's incompetent, incapable. He's impotent. He has no power, no strength to prevail against the Lord's will and the Lord's people. And so he burns it down. And he's one of them. And he burns it down. And in that process, 1,000 men and women died in that fire. They died in that fire. And we see there, this is the fiery judgment of God, which He has promised in His Word, which shall come upon the inhabitants of the earth. But he tells you that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 26, he says, you go and you hide yourself and you shut the doors in Christ. You hide yourself in the provision which I've given to you in Christ. And you stay there in him, because for a little while there's going to be indignation and wrath passing over. But you hide in Christ. You trust Christ and believe him and you'll be fine. You'll be protected. Even if your life is taken, even if he takes your life to spare you from the other judgment, it's okay. You have Christ. You have the inheritance of the saints. And your eyes are going to open and you're going to behold that beautiful one, Christ Jesus the Lord, seated on the throne, standing up, ready to receive you into his arms, wiping every tear. So we have everything, brethren, everything. Now, this brings us to the other tower, the strong tower that the other people were not destroyed in. After Abimelech destroyed those people of Shechem, just like the prophecy said, verse 50 says that he went to some town named the Betz and encamped against the Betz and took it. Now, this is a city near Shechem, but we're not told anywhere that these people had anything to do with what was going on with Abimelech and these other men of Shechem. They're just innocent people from that. They didn't partake in that sin. Now, the name means conspicuous, and I find that to be conspicuous, actually. But the root word means brightness, as in the bleaching white of a garment by a fuller, such as fine linen. It means brightness. That's the root word of the Betz here. And so the picture here is that this is the church. And it's just like the enemy of our souls, the accuser, who we just stand out conspicuously to, and he just wants to destroy us, to wipe us off the face of the earth for no other reason than the fact that we are shining bright in the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in the righteousness of Christ. And so here's a picture of the church in this wicked world that's now come under the assault of the wicked one. For no other reason than you just stick out like a sore thumb. You are a peculiar people. You're a peculiar people to the rest of the world. And we read in verse 51, there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower. Well, so far at this point, it's looking like what we just saw happen in Shechem. They look like they were as subject to being burned to death and destroyed as those people in Shechem, and that this terror was just going to come to them as well. Now, the scriptures tell us that our Lord, your Lord, is a strong tower. He is a strong tower. In other words, you that have fled to Jesus Christ for refuge, you have it. The Lord has raised him up to be the very salvation of his people. In him, all his people who believe him have the forgiveness of their sins. They are righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ by the blood of Christ. And the Father loves him. He's well pleased in the Son. And all that are in the Son, all who come to the Father in the righteousness of Christ, not trust in their own works, they are received of the Father. They receive and have the forgiveness of sins. They have everlasting life. And all the promises of God, all the blessings of God, are freely given in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. These people that went to this tower probably were afraid and were very worried. They were worried. They had heard what had just happened over in Shechem. And now they're running and getting set up what seems to be the same situation. But remember, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. You are safe. Run to the Lord. Believe Him. Trust Him. Don't despair. If you despair, run to Christ. Lay it before your God and Savior. Trust Him. Put it all before Him. He is your salvation. He is your shadow. He is the rock. He is the strong tower, the high tower, the fortress of the people of God. And you that runneth to Him, you are safe. You are safe. Now we're told in verses 52 and 53, Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Right? It seemed that he was going to be triumphant again. He was going to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull. That is peculiar wording. A certain woman. That is you, brethren, who are the church of Christ. You are that certain woman. You know that word certain is the same word that was used when we're told in the scriptures that the Lord took one of Adam's ribs and made Eve his wife. That word one is the same word certain. You are a certain people, a peculiar people, chosen of the Lord, chosen by Him. He went in there and took that one rib out of Adam's side and made Eve. That word is also the same word used when it says that you husbands and wives, you are one flesh. One flesh. You are a certain woman of the Lord Jesus Christ, His bride, the one whom He loves and cares for. I know in this world there are many examples of awful men, terrible men, but Christ your Savior, He is perfect. He is a wonderful husband. He is almighty. He loves you and cares for you and provides everything you need. And you are precious to Him, precious to Him. And so this certain woman is the church. And the millstone, that is Christ. He is our only defense. He's the only defense we need. He's everything. And she put forth Christ and dropped it on the head of her attacker. And so that's what Christ does. Just like happened here, Christ destroys the power. He destroys the advance. He destroys the ability of your enemy to do you any harm. Nothing can happen outside of the will of God for you. And He gives you a heart for whatever His will is. He provides everything for you. Now, Judges 9:55 tells us, when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Just like that, it was over. And the Lord Jesus Christ has crushed the head. He's bruised the head of the serpent. He's delivered us from being destroyed by him. Being destroyed by him. And it says that God, when he did that, God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. And so the wicked of this world may seem to prevail for a time, but your God knows. And nothing's going to prevail over his will and his purpose for his people, whom he loves. You that trust him and have fled to him, Christ Jesus, your high tower, you are safe. You are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the head of the serpent shall shortly, it says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Romans 16:20. And so we see here that in Christ you will not be ashamed. You will have what you need. And you keep looking to the Lord and cry out to Him, for He provides and He delivers you from the hand of your enemy. He's done everything for you. Bless His name. Rejoice in Him. Be glad, brethren, because He is your high tower. You run to Him and you are delivered. Amen.